In today's news headlines, a bipartisan group of centrist senators is attempting to break through the gridlock on a new COVID relief bill this week, with a $908 billion financial package to stimulate the sluggish economy and provide aid to millions of struggling Americans. The proposal includes $300 a week for unemployed Americans, half the amount they were receiving earlier this year, as well as $160 billion in aid to state and local governments. It also protects corporations from worker lawsuits over health and safety issues. The senators, including Joe Manchin of Illinois, Mark Warner of Virginia, Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, Mitt Romney of Utah, and Susan Collins of Maine, held a press conference on Tuesday. When asked if there were enough votes in the Senate or the House to pass such a package, Senator Manchin answered this.
We have not had assurances from them on that for a vote, but I think the American people will put the pressure, showing that there's a group of us coming together that this needs to be done. This is the only group that's made an effort that they've made right now. This is the only group that's come together in such a large gathering and many more people involved. So we know the need's there. We're determined not to go home until we do something.
That's Senator Joe Manchin, a conservative Democrat, speaking to reporters on Tuesday about a proposed COVID relief bill brought by him and some senators from both parties. Senate Democrat Dick Durbin, who was involved in shaping the bill, did not appear on Tuesday alongside his colleagues, citing that he would have excluded the corporate liability shield aspect of the bill. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin are scheduled to speak on Tuesday afternoon about COVID relief. There is no certainty that even if Congress were to pass a relief bill, that President Donald Trump would sign it. Mr. Mnuchin and Federal Reserve Chair Jeremy Powell testified in front of the U.S. Senate on Tuesday. The two disagreed with one another about the most serious risks facing the U.S. economy. This is Mr. Mnuchin attempting to explain why his department did not spend all of the CARES Act funds.
The Senate provided unprecedented authority to the Secretary of the Treasury in giving me $500 billion. The statute was very clear. Matter of fact, I find it implausible that any member of this committee believe that in voting for the CARES Act, you were authorizing me to invest $500 billion to make loans in perpetuity.
Mr. Powell differed.
There are a lot of small businesses that are at risk of going out of business during this winter, which could be a tough few months.
Underscoring the need for relief, the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia has released a study showing a 70% increase in people paying their rent on a credit card. And several families are suing the state of California over growing gaps in how children of color are able to access remote learning during the pandemic. The lawsuit, filed Monday, contends that, quote, the change in the delivery of education left many already underserved students functionally unable to attend school. Nationwide, poor and non-white students were found to be falling behind in math instruction, as per another study. There were 4 million new cases of infection and 37,000 deaths from the coronavirus in the United States in November alone. As pharmaceutical companies seek approval from the FDA for their COVID-19 vaccines, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention convened an advisory panel tasked with making recommendations about who should be vaccinated first. According to the New York Times, quote, it is expected to advise that healthcare workers be first in line, along with residents of nursing homes and other long-term care facilities. Once approved by CDC Director Robert Redfield, the recommendations would then be shared with states. California Governor Gavin Newsom announced that his state is receiving 327,000 doses of the vaccine from Pfizer. Dr. Anthony Fauci, speaking with Facebook's CEO Mark Zuckerberg, said on Monday, quote, by the time we get to April, they will have likely taken care of the high priority and then the general population of normal, healthy young men or women, 30 or 40 years old, no underlying health conditions, can walk into a CVS or a Walgreens and get vaccinated. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump's controversial coronavirus advisor, Scott Atlas, has resigned from his position. Atlas came under fire from the scientific community for suggesting that masks don't work to stop the spread of the virus and that children are unable to pass the disease. He was also a proponent of the wrongly named idea of herd immunity, which basically amounts to doing nothing. Pfizer and Moderna, the two U.S.-based companies that have announced vaccine results, are both requesting authorization for use in Europe. President Donald Trump, having lost all his bids to foment a coup by overturning the election results, has reportedly raised $170 million from his donors. Despite having no chance of remaining in the White House, Trump is relentlessly fundraising. And there are now reports that the first 75% of all contributions to his campaign will go to a new political action committee that he has launched. In other words, most of the money will fund him personally. Trump plans to visit Georgia over the weekend to boost turnout for two Republican Senate candidates who face a runoff in January. But Georgia Republicans are worried he may end up suppressing the vote. In recent days, Trump has slammed Republican leadership in the state for running the November 3rd election fairly simply because he lost there. Meanwhile, Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger announced an investigation into voter registration groups that he suspects are registering voters from out of state to cast ballots in the January 5th Senate runoffs. And voters in Atlanta this Tuesday are voting for a short-term Democratic replacement for the late Congressman John Lewis. The winner will serve only until January. President-elect Joe Biden continues to face fallout from his pick of former Hillary Clinton campaign staffer Neera Tanden to lead the Office of Management and Budget. Tanden, who is reviled by supporters of Senator Bernie Sanders, has now reportedly deleted 1,000 of her own tweets as she hopes to stay in the running for the position. Biden is also under fire for considering Rahm Emanuel, former Chicago mayor, to lead the Department of Transportation. Mr. Emanuel penned an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal on Tuesday advising Biden on how to break a Senate gridlock by focusing on bread-and-butter issues of importance to voters from both parties. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti is also being considered for a possible appointment in a Biden administration. But activists from Black Lives Matter Los Angeles, who have been camped out in front of his home for days, are demanding otherwise. 25 House Democrats wrote a letter to their colleagues this week demanding an increase in IRS funding so that the tax collection agency can go after wealthy tax cheats. The Internal Revenue Service, in recent years, has focused on lower-income Americans to unearth tax fraud, letting wealthier Americans off the hook. The agency says its priorities are based on funding. Congresswoman Judy Chu, who was among the letter signatories, wrote, quote, "Millionaire tax dodgers like Donald Trump get away with paying little to no federal income tax, in part because IRS funding has dropped over 20% since 2010. Finally, tens of thousands of Indian farmers have laid siege to their capital city of New Delhi, demanding that the government of Prime Minister Narendra Modi repeal proposed changes to the nation's agricultural sector. The farmers say they are ready to lock the city down for weeks until they get their wish. Modi's new rules, which were passed in September, would remove price guarantees for their produce and leave farmers to directly negotiate prices with private corporations who they expect will exploit the workers. There's currently a line of protesters nearly 20 miles long around Delhi, and more farmers are expected to join in coming weeks. A majority of Indian workers are part of the agricultural sector. And that does it for our news headlines.